We should go to Caroline and bring her on the phone here. Can I do that on my end here, Sonar?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is Caroline, you there?
Hey guys, how
hey,
are you?
Hey,
hi Caroline.
Hi.
Nice talking to you.
You're such a nice little crew. You have to introduce me to everybody. Yeah. I kind of know.
Okay.
Ron and Rich.
Right. So I'm Ron, and then
I'm Allison.
Rich.
And I'm Rich.
And is Robbie still out there somewhere?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Woo-hoo. Okay. Good.
See, we got a whole clan. So, and then here, where are you, Caroline?
I'm in New Jersey.
You're in Jersey. Okay. Allison and I are here in Chicago, and then Rich is on the west coast of Florida. Say hi, Rich.
Yep. And hello. Hi, Rich.
And then Robbie's on the east coast of Florida. Say hi, Robbie.
Hi, Robbie.
See? There you go. So,
well, hello, everyone.
So we've got a good we're good coverage of the eastern United States and Midwest. So basically, you talk about healthy homes, and you're a healthy home expert. What does that mean?
It means that basically I look at what's going on in your home. I work a lot with physicians and bring information about how our health ties into how we're living. So we see a big correlation between how you live in your home and how you feel. And that's my job, to basically teach people about what could be, you know, going wrong in their home or how to keep it safe.
Okay, I have to ask you a question then. Do you watch that show Hoarders?
I do.
Does that horrify you?
I see it so much in my business, to be honest with you, Ron.
Really? Really? Okay.
So, you know, and this is like not a socioeconomic thing. I mean, people can have a ton of money and live not healthy or have little money and live very healthy. So what's interesting about my job is anybody can do this. You can make changes and really, you know, make a difference in your life, no matter what your socioeconomic status. So great.
Okay. So
what's your,
go ahead, Rich.
Your typical trigger? Is it from a health professional, or is it, you know, what makes you go to somebody's home? Is it
right.
They call you just for the help?
Yeah, I mean, it really varies. I mean, I started in a small area. You know, I mean, I started working in the tri-state area, and now I work nationally, and we design these kits. So anybody in the country, and I do international as well, can test their home. So whether you're in California or you're in Chicago, you can order kits from us. We send them out to you. We test for all kinds of different things, and we'll go into that, and people can do it from anywhere.
Okay, so what are you testing for?
So we look, a lot of things that we're looking for are really invisible. So even if I went out for an inspection, I wouldn't be able to see them necessarily. So those would be things like mold, allergens, pet proteins, dander, dust mites, volatile organic compounds, formaldehyde, things that really people, you know, if you walk into a house and you see it looks clean, right? You're like, this is a great house. And then when you start to really analyze it, a lot of these homes are not so healthy.
And if you're using a lot of bleach and chemicals in there, that and it might look clean, but then it's also probably not very safe.
Exactly. So when we start to look at VOCs, people are always like, what's a VOC?
Uh-huh.
And we're familiar with that because of paint, right? So we think paint, VOC, but everything. I mean, even natural things put off VOCs, from lemons or citrus or pine and turpentine. Things like that came from natural sources. So just because you're being natural and you're not using toxins, you think, doesn't mean your house is healthy.
Right.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, because I use vinegar, lemon, and water for almost everything.
Really?
In my house. Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, yeah, those things are better
alternative
to use.
Bleach.
So you want to use those things. But, like, when you start to use essential oils, you're probably familiar, Allison, a lot of people use these essential oils now, and they're constantly using them for more than the allotted time. You should really only be exposed to them about 15 minutes. A day.
Hold on.
Start to become a lung
issue. Oh,
there
hold
you,
on.
Now you got Robbie.
Robbie's like, now you're invading my bath time.
Uh-oh.
No, I use essential oils all the time.
That's why you're goofy.
Did you really just say that?
No, did that come? Oh, wait. Did that come out of my voice?
Yes, your mic was on. Your mic was on.
Geez, I'm sorry, Robbie. I know.
I use like the peppermint, tea tree, eucalyptus in a diffuser. Now, diffusers are extremely popular. You're saying they're not good?
Yeah, you have to be really limited to the amount that you're using. And you want to, studies have shown that about 15 minutes a day should be your max. So, you know, all of these things start to raise your volatile organics. And when you do that, you really compromise your indoor air quality. And even though they're natural, the body really doesn't have the ability to differentiate between a paint and, say, your peppermint essential oil. So all of these things add up to your total volatile number, which can easily put you over the edge and then put you into an unsafe air quality. So, yes, I'd be conservative. You can use them, but also remember, too, even when they're in the jar, they're still outgassing. People don't understand that when you have products in the house, and if you like to collect a lot of products, they're all continuing to outgas. They're not completely sealed. It's the same with the paint can. So all of this stuff keeps outgassing into your environment, and you can really get to unsafe levels, especially for children and older adults. So just keep it, you know.
Okay.
So but I have to imagine that...
Go ahead, Rich.
Go ahead, Robbie. No, go ahead.
I have to imagine, though, that using the natural stuff, the essential oils, is going to be a lot better. Like if somebody had a diffuser on of lavender, let's say, instead of spraying chemicals all the time, you know, air freshener and stuff like that. I'm assuming that having on an air freshener of lavender all day, I'm sorry, an essential oil of lavender all day, is better than spraying air freshener every time you need it.
I mean, it depends on the synthetic compounds you're talking about. But again, the body, when you, turpentine comes from pine, or even formaldehyde comes from wood. These are natural chemical compounds. So they go into this lump of VOCs. And when your VOCs get over a certain number, so I like to see a house at 500 volatiles.
That
I really don't
like
care what your source is. It's actually not. I mean, okay. Most houses in the U.S. are coming in, you know, about 1,500 to 3,000.
Wow.
And we know these are too many based on, we're looking at European standards. We're looking at the U.S. GBC standard. So we really want to drop these because when you don't, they start to produce and can produce inflammation in the body. So my advice, you know, from looking at this all the time is I would, you know, everything in moderation. You don't want to overexpose yourself to anything.
Wow. Okay.
And Caroline, don't be offended if you heard
new furniture.
If you heard Ron giggling, it was because he was doing a quasi cheerleading dance.
What?
And a joy dance over here over I'm not sure what.
Rich and I were communicating.
They were
with hand signals.
But I was I was actively listening, kind of concerned about what you were saying.
Because we have like 30 seconds left.
Yeah.
I'm very concerned about what you have to say.
Yeah.
Can you hang on, Caroline?
Alarming.
Sure.
So okay, let's hang. I'll keep you through the break here, and then we'll finish talking about this in the next segment. You are listening to Mighty House. You already turned off.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
You want to play?
See, I work.
There we go.
I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, you can check him out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you will have a chance to win some great Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. And let's go back on the phones here. Let's bring Caroline back up. Are you there, Caroline?
I'm here.
And Caroline is a national health home expert, and part of what we were talking about in the last hour is some of the things that you Robbie just turned her phone off again, didn't she? She did.
Cereal's ready.
Oh, the cereal's ready. All right. Hey, Caroline.
Yeah.
Okay. So, much better. Thank you. So we were talking about during the break is lead, which You go about the lead poisoning issues and stuff like that.
I brought
up
because I was a trainer for the EPA for lead work practices. I said on her website she doesn't deal with lead much or bring that up. So then the side of it was she does, but it's not the core. But she had a great answer then how she does it by geographic region.
Okay, so just kind of go over the lead issue real quick.
Predominantly, I do a lot of water testing. So, you know, when we're looking at, obviously, lead, that's one of the big sources I'll look at because of the exposure to the skin. So when we're analyzing it out, your water, you know, is the most important. And I recommend doing tests one a year. So you don't have to go crazy. People don't have to test, you know, and do all their tests at once. One time a year, you want to focus on the health of your home and pick a test. So one year you can do radon. One year you can do water. One year you can do volatile organics, mold, one thing. And then you end up breaking it up so it's not overwhelming. And when we're looking at lead, I like to do it, you know, through the water. So your skin's your largest bodily organ. A lot of the lead problems that we do see, I mean, they can be in older houses, obviously, you know all this. But I do you know, take it very seriously, especially with water testing. And I've done that way before the whole Flint, Michigan issue.
Okay.
So I had been telling my clients for years, what you're getting out of your tap is not necessarily what's coming out of the plant. So you really need
and
to be
testing.
Thing
with the water, though, is because you don't absorb lead through your skin at all. It has to be ingested either through your nose or your mouth, quite honestly.
Right.
So the water is a huge issue. You start drinking tainted water. So the other thing that I worry about is anything with children in the house under six is double hung windows and lead-based paint. Just opening and closing windows creates a lot of dust. So while you're looking, that's something you always want to search for.
So
and typically when it's house dust like that, I will refer out to a, you know, a lead company. There are companies that specialize just in lead remediation and lead testing. So
right. So even if you're on city water, you should be testing that yearly?
Oh, absolutely. Because it just shows you. I mean, the Flint, Michigan thing was just one example.
Yeah.
But what you're getting at the tap, whether it's coming in from, you know, your pipes affect everything. People always think, well, what do? I don't affect my water. It's absolutely not true.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, your pipes can affect it. What type of fixtures you're using, if they're not lead-free, that can influence your water. Also, with wells in particular, like I had a well, perfect example. I bought a house 5 years ago. And it had high nitrates. I mean, they were below the national standard of safety. But if you start to look at the World Health Organization and you start to look at other studies that are done, as the nitrates get higher, you know, there's the risk of what we call blue baby syndrome, risk of prostate cancer, risk of other types of bladder cancer. So nitrates are really important to try to keep low. And when I purchased my house, they were higher than I would have liked them to be. They were up about 5,500. We started using all organic, no pesticide, no fertilizer on the lawn. I do not store automobile materials, anything, gasoline, you know, products that would affect my water supply.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, after 5 years, the nitrates went down almost 2 parts per million, which is a lot. So they went from 5,500 to 3,200.
Right.
So, and that just shows you, you affect, you know, what you're doing does affect things.
Let the weeds grow. Let them live. Right?
Well, you can do organic gardening. You know, you can do reseeding. I've got a beautiful lawn, so you've got to really just do it naturally.
Excellent. Okay, so really what we talk about here is a lot of home improvement stuff. We tend to anyway. Today we haven't been talking about much home improvement stuff, but normally we do. And so if you're doing a bathroom remodel, a kitchen remodel, you're bringing a lot of new stuff into the home and a lot of new products. What should people be looking for as they're bringing all these new products in?
Well, two things that I always recommend is, look, if you're going to tighten up your building envelope and you're going to start making things more energy efficient, one, you've got to retest for radon after you do that. That's a big, big, big one in my book. Radon is, you know, one of the leading causes of lung cancer in the country. We have it in all 50 states. So if you do remodel, if you change things, if you change any way your air is flowing, make sure to do a radon test. That's one. Two, when you start to bring and do major construction and renovation, if you're doing larger projects, one, know where your products are coming from. We've had a lot of issues with people becoming sick because the product came from overseas where the standards weren't up to where they should be. You've heard about the whole lumber liquidator flooring.
Right, with the formaldehyde.
So, right, know where it's coming from. Formaldehyde is a huge problem in this country because of the way we build. As we've gotten cheaper or more engineered product, we're adding more and more toxins into that product. So try to stick with, you know, straighter, you know, simpler products. The more engineering you get, chances are the more chemicals you're going to get.
Okay, so because the glues and
the resins
mm-hmm. and stuff that
formaldehyde
they're putting in.
Mm-hmm. binders. Yeah.
I mean, in the early 90s, we did a kitchen remodel. We ended up having to replace the subfloor in the house, and as we did that, we put in all new plywood, and then all of a sudden the homeowner got really sick, and he would go away, and during the week and when he was traveling, and be fine, and come home, and he'd get sicker than the dog.
Hmm.
We figured
this
out
is all the time this is happening, and.
And so it took us a while back then. We didn't know. We didn't think. Yeah. We were like, well, dude, you're messed up. It's not. We didn't think it was anything we were doing.
Not us. Yeah.
We eventually figured it out that it was the plywood that we had used.
Yes.
It had formaldehyde glues in it and actually was causing that problem. He couldn't live in his house for 6 months.
Oh, my God. So you had to rip it up.
No, we left it. We were done.
Mm-hmm.
By the time we figured out what was causing this, it was too late. The kitchen was done.
No, you have to just let it out off gas until it's, you know.
The problem is some of these things don't outgas.
Okay.
The problem, and
oh,
they continue to do it indefinitely, and
mm-hmm.
then these people, you know, have to rip the stuff out because they just can't live with it. So,
well,
I mean, I deal with this all the time.
the funny thing is, though, people will do everything they can to get low VOC paints, low VOC glues, non-formaldehyde plywood on their floors and this and that, and blah, blah, blah. And then they go put cheap furniture in there that off-gasses for 10 years and kills them anyway.
Yeah, well...
You know, because I always ask where my furniture's coming from and, you know, does it have a hardwood frame, you know, not just some plywood and this and that. I mean, it's amazing. It's just...
Well, and I think I think Carolyn brings up a good point too, that people aren't thinking about, especially with major renovations, which is what, you know, we're doing, is the technology airs, you know, houses are getting really airtight. I mean, you put a new set of windows in there, you start getting spray foam in there, you know, insulation, the drywall, and then it's like your house is airtight. It's not, there's nothing coming in and out. And in some ways that's good, but in some ways it's bad. So, you know, Carolyn's like, okay, so if people do radon testing and it comes out high, well, what are their options to remedy that?
Well, so then, you know, you'd have to do some kind of remediation system, but you bring up this great point, Allison. So when I went back for, you know, sustainable design education, my biggest problem was that what are we doing about health? Mm. You know, we're testing VOCs, but when you start to stack these building envelopes and you're getting layer upon layer, there is nothing in this world that prevents water from getting in. I've done mold testing for 17 years, and water will find its way into any building envelope. I don't care what you do.
Yep.
Yes,
so
it does, doesn't it?
The question is, how do you test and know that this is there? And that's why I require all my clients test every 3 to 5 years for mold. I don't care what your building envelope is. I don't care what people tell you. I don't care how well you flashed. Water sources will, you know, develop just because of showers and indoor plumbing, sweating, condensation, high relative humidity. It's impossible to keep it out.
Yes.
So question would be is, because mold is everywhere. I mean, there's thousands of types of mold, and there's only a few that are truly dangerous to humans. But there, mold is always present. Mold spores are on everything. So how do you address that? Because really, unless you get temperature and humidity, they're not going to bloom. So
yeah, well,
it's
so
harmless
what happens
on the wall dry, but that's what I'm getting at. How do you determine when it's time to treat it?
So when you test, right, you'll have your naturally occurring, you always take a baseline sample outside that gives you your naturally occurring amount. And then what we do is compare that to the samples that we take inside. And you'll see when you start to have what we call water damage indicators, which are either the toxic molds we hear about or common molds like Aspergillus, Penicillium, Cladosporium, even though they're common molds, inside when their concentrations get too high, they make people have symptoms. So that's why you have to monitor how much you're, you know, bringing in and what's there. And just there's a range. So we can tell specifically, like, okay, you're starting to have a problem 20, 25 years on a bathroom or kitchen, you need a remodel. Like, that's my kind of threshold.
Oh,
like, you're not going over that.
I know you can't see Rich, but he's very excited. There's
well,
a lot.
The reason why is because there's a lot of HVAC contractors out there trying to sell the ultraviolet things for people's furnaces and that. Mm-hmm. And they'll tell you they'll get a mold wipe and they put it across a return or a supply and it's going to show mold is present. And they're going to scare people into buying this stuff. But what she's saying is without a baseline, what's going on outside,
right?
It's a sham. So that's actually a great answer. That's why I was like happy.
Yeah, and that's why you want to do air. I prefer air testing because I want to know what you're breathing in that space. And it becomes very obvious when you start comparing this. I mean, I've been doing this for such a long time that, you know, these are the standards now out there for mold. And people should be required to test. I mean, if you're buying a property, you're spending money, you need to know if you have toxic mold because these remediation projects are very pricey. And if you do have a mold issue, then you've got to start gutting and making sure everything's removed and that you don't have mycotoxins and things that can ruin your, you know, your actual integrity of your home.
Okay. Sure. So if somebody, we've got about 2 minutes left here. I want to cover this real quick. If somebody wants to test their home or if they want to know if they actually do have a healthy home or not, how do they get a hold of you? How can they get a hold of this kit, or what should they be doing?
They just come to our website, healthyhomeexpert.com, and we've got, you know, great resources for people to educate themselves about different, you know, toxins, contaminants, things they have to think about in their home. And they can order our test kits. They can call us. Our number's there. So healthyhomeexpert.com.
Healthyhomeexperts.com. And so you ship this all over the country then, correct?
You know, depending on what people, they do a consultation, we figure out what's going on, what they're worried about, if they do have issues. You know, some people obviously come to us from physicians, so, you know, they have medical things going on, and then we try to figure out what's going on in the home, and, you know, 80% of the time, 90%, probably 90%, we really fix people's problems, headaches, you know, if your body aches, headache, to go to your doctor, you're not getting answers about what's going on and everything comes back normal in your testing, start looking at your house as a solution.
All right, Caroline, I appreciate your time. And the other thing to think about is your office where you work every day. You spend more, some people spend more time in their office than they do at home. So you want to try and test that also. I appreciate your time today, Caroline.
Thanks, guys. Nice meeting you.
All right, thanks. We'll talk to you later. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to
Mighty House. This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.